This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Monday, July 6th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Alley. Here's today's headlines. Key reports are due out this week. Screwworm cases hit 31, and cookout costs increase. Congress is out all week, but there's still plenty to watch in Washington. The cost of borrowing money is in focus as the Fed Reserve is set to release details of its latest meeting on Wednesday. The minutes will provide hints if the central bank is inclined to raise interest rates anytime soon. Many farmers will start talks with lenders soon about next season. While fuel and some fertilizer prices have dropped, slumping crop values, keeping production costs high. USDA's July crop report, known as the WASDE, will give fresh signals on supply and demand, the trade keeping a close watch on the appetite for both corn and soybeans. Demand is crucial as USDA projects the fourth highest planted corn acreage since 1944, and also last week raised its previous estimate on soybean acres. Wheat is now a major scrutiny after the USDA said it sees farmers harvesting only 32.1 million acres this year. That would be a 149-year low, the smallest harvested acreage since 1877, according to Karen Braun, chief market analyst at Zahner Ag Hedge. 31 cases of screwworm have been found in the U.S., though only 17 are active, according to the latest data from USDA. 9 recent cases have been detected in Crockett County, Texas, while 6 have been found in Edwards County and 4 found in Terrell County. In a recent letter, USDA Research, Education, and Economics Undersecretary Scott Hutchins pushing back against some of Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller's calls for use of fly baits, arguing that employing older versions of the technology at this point would slow the eradication process. However, Hutchins did say he believes the concept, quote, is good in principle, and that USDA researchers are developing a version specific for trapping female New World screwworm flies without the need for a toxicant. Americans likely paid more for the July 4 backyard feast over the past holiday weekend. A cookout for 10 guests was estimated at $73.82, up 4% from last year, according to the American Farm Bureau Federation survey. Low cattle herds, high labor and transportation costs, pricier aluminum drove up the prices for ground beef, hamburger buns, strawberries, and pork and beans. A bright spot was potato salad, which was down 18% as egg prices have fallen. Zippy Duvall, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, said higher prices at the grocery store don't translate always to more money for farmers. Farmers are dealing with natural disasters and higher supply costs while making the same or sometimes less money for the food that they grow. The Iowa Renewable Fuels Association says an outdated requirement is blocking lower motor fuel prices in California. Despite the sale of higher ethanol blends, or E15, being legal in the state since last October, we're still waiting, says Iowa Renewable Fuels Association Executive Director Monty Shaw. That's because the state fire marshal says E15 can't be sold until, quote, secondary vapor recovery systems are certified for use with the fuel, a lengthy regulatory process that could take 2 years, according to IRFA. The Iowa Biofuel Group says California is the only state still requiring such systems because they are no longer needed for modern vehicles. Combined with the low cost of ethanol, E15 is predictable, predicted to provide a 20 cent a gallon savings at the pump, or $2.7 billion a year, according to the IRFA. California also represents a major new market for ethanol use, which in turn boosts corn prices for struggling Midwest farmers. If fully adopted in California, E15 would represent a market for an additional 250 million bushels of corn. IRFA hopes to see emergency action to remove this last unjustifiable barrier for E15 in California, Shaw says. It's time for common sense. We'll have more AgriPulse Debrief after this. America's dairy farmers are committed to feeding the nation, but their ability to do so depends on sound, science-based policies. That's why they rely on Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the number two milk cooperative in the country and a leading voice for progressive, farmer-driven leadership in Washington, D.C. Edge represents dairy farmers and their families across the country, the backbone of rural communities and a vital part of our food security. From environmental regulation and workforce development to trade and sustainability, Edge ensures farmer perspectives are heard and that decisions in D.C. are grounded on facts, not politics. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, advancing policies that strengthen America's farms, safeguard our environment, and sustain the next generation of dairy leaders. Welcome back to AgriPulse Debrief. USDA and the Small Business Administration have inked a memorandum of understanding that supporting efforts to fight lawfare against farmers. The MOU, quote, formalizes collaboration between USDA and SBA's Office of the National Ombudsman, an Ag Department press release says. It enables the resolution of complaints involving other federal regulatory agencies submitted through the USDA Lawfare Portal, in addition to analyzing resulting data to identify patterns for potential deregulation and accountability. Among the elements of the initiative is a, quote, unified workflow to route, investigate, resolve lawfare matters dealing with other federal agencies submitted through the USDA Lawfare Portal, the release says. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear Nebraska's challenge to Colorado's use of South Platte River water. The court plans to appoint a special master to oversee the case brought by Nebraska Attorney General Mike Hilgers, accusing Colorado of breaching a 102-year-old compact by allowing irrigation season diversions for storage. He argued in a complaint that the agreement, quote, effectively removed water from the river otherwise available to Nebraska during the irrigating season. Hilgers also claimed that Colorado was blocking the construction of a canal allowed to be built under the treaty. Meanwhile, Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser argues that Colorado is complying with the compact and not interfering with Nebraska's efforts to construct the canal. He said, quote, Nebraska's burden to prove those claims is incredibly high, and we will vigorously defend Colorado's full entitlements under the pact. Weiser is the Democratic nominee for governor, having defeated Senator Mike Bennett in the primary last week. Bennett, an Ag Committee member, will remain in the Senate. Ag labor legislation introduced in the House of Representatives is welcome news for the Florida vegetable industry. Mike Joyner shares on the latest AgriPulse Open Mic edition. Joyner, president of the Florida Fruit and Vegetable Association, says nurseries and dairies would benefit from the bill championed by Ag Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson. The bill would essentially make the program year-round by allowing workers to stay in the U.S. for 350 days. Joyner says that alone would be so helpful for dairies and nurseries. Joyner also would like to see the U.S. negotiate tariff rate quotas on low-priced commodities from Mexico, so we would curb the volumes of Mexican produce coming into the U.S. Open Mic is available now at AgriPulse.com. Here's today's final word. China spends an enormous amount of money on agricultural infrastructure, but a string of exposés in the state media, government crackdowns, and scared straight meetings for rural officials reveal that spending is extremely bloated, consists mostly of showpiece projects, and nobody really knows for sure what's happening in the hinterland. That's the word of retired USDA economist Fred Gale in a post entitled, China's Bloated Farm Infrastructure Spending, Money for nothing. Well, that's Daybreak for this Monday, July 6th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Elliott.